This is episode 409. Are you sober curious? You love beer, but you're thinking, this belly of mine probably needs a break. Or maybe you've got some more serious health concerns like fatty liver disease, diabetes, obesity, or some heavy mental health stuff, and you know drinking beer or alcohol too often really is a part of the problem. If you have any of those going on, then today's episode is one worth listening to because we have the CEO of a non-alcoholic beverage company that brews tea like beer with the full hops and the full beer flavor, but without the sugars, additives, or fermentation. So you can even have beer for breakfast if you like without any of the bad stuff. Getting sober or reducing your input of intoxicating substances altogether can be made so much easier with products like this. So if you are at all sober curious or health interested on any level, then let's dive in.
Welcome to the How to Not Get Sick and Die podcast. You've tuned in because you want to start taking your health seriously so you don't, well, get sick and die. Here we talk all things health, nutrition, and human optimization. Let's jump into it with your host and resident scientist, Maddie Lansdowne.
What's up, my healthy friends? This year, it's my mission to coach 500 people to get control of their sugar cravings and sugar binges so they can stop dieting, stop obsessing about food, and finally create a body that they feel confident being in. And often those that we work with, not all of them, but some, they'll include alcohol in the list of things that they want to break up with or have a much better relationship with. And so on today's show, we're chatting about very practical ways that you might be able to do that with Betsy Frost, whom is the CEO of Hoplark, a non-alcoholic beverage company, giving you a beer-like experience in a completely different way. And before Hoplark, Betsy was the president at the Dry Soda Company, another non-alcoholic drink brand. And so clearly she has lots of experience with these types of products and in this industry. So Betsy, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
You are so very welcome. I'm excited to have this conversation because I think one of the good things about technology is that we can come up with sort of healthier ways to do unhealthy things, which is fabulous.
Absolutely.
The movement into this space has been really big in the last few years, and a lot of people are starting to reduce their alcohol consumption. And I've noticed that in some of the data. And I've got also some friends that work in sort of the gray area drinking alcoholic space as well. And, you know, whether it be due to obesity or fatty liver disease, or they're sick and tired of being sick and tired. But I'm curious for you on your journey, what was the thing that led you to being sort of, as it's dubbed, you know, sober curious?
Yeah, I mean, I still drink a bit. It's about, for me, reductionism and finding the right balance in what you do to feel completely engaged in both kind of my health and wellness and my mental wellness. So I started working out again after the pandemic. I took a mental break and hiatus, as most people did, and had gotten into some really bad habits. And so I was like walking every day. I had started to lift again, and I was still drinking a lot. And so I was building up my body and yet getting no benefit from it whatsoever. And so, just cutting back on occasions and number of drinks that you have has helped me kind of get my food and beverage in sync with what I'm spending my time doing as well. So it's a net positive.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, a lot of people were shaken up by the lockdowns and the COVID whole debacle scenario that went on because we were trapped in our homes and we could only go, well, at least here in Melbourne, many of us were trapped in our homes and we only had access to the supermarket and alcohol stores, you know, liquor stores. And So when you're bored, tired, pissed off and all of the things, and you've only got access to sugar and alcohol, like, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Well, and I know a number of other people were just literally using it as a routine to break up the day. Like there was no commute to go from work to home or to shift gears. And you're like, okay, I'll have a drink or we'll have an online happy hour. Like how silly is that? But it then became part of this like everyday routine in some way, shape or form. And so, my first part of breaking up that routine was finding ways to get outside, which I think is the easiest way for people to reset. And the second was then like, oh my gosh, what? I'm surrounded by food all day. What am I doing? And how am I using that food to fill in the gaps that I should be doing with the rest of my life?
Yeah, I mean, I think the impact of that time, you know, has lasted a lot longer for people than we maybe anticipated. A lot of people thought, oh, you know, as soon as it's over, maybe a few weeks later, we'll be, you know, we'll be all healed and back to where it is. But yes, some of those habits got really ingrained, especially when it came to the sugar and the alcohol.
Yeah.
And so I'm curious, you know, I really like this idea that you said, because not everybody needs to fully quit, right? Sometimes it really is just about reduction. And so I'm curious, just to give context to sort of the kind of products you work with, like what are the ideas or philosophies behind Hoplark's products that are a part of the, you know, getting it out there and helping people reduce their alcohol?
Yeah, I mean, Hoplark, I think, is quite remarkable in the NA space for a lot of reasons. But the biggest to me is, so I had worked in the natural foods industry for, you know, the last 20 years. And if you look at food and the trends in food and the healthfulness of food, it's all about real ingredients and cutting out artificial sugars, even regular sugar, and using pantry ingredients. But when you look at beverage, there is nothing that really does that outside of alcohol. Everything has flavors, sweeteners, extracts, sugar in it. And Hoplark does something completely different by having an actual clean ingredient, bold flavor. So in the NA space, a lot of it has been like, what can I replace that's either alcohol-like or has complexity and interest like alcohol? So I have something that's both interesting and then like socially acceptable. So I feel more a part of the party and not an outsider. And so it is using flavors and sugars to replicate a lot of stuff. But Dean Eberhardt, our founder, who's a engineer and a total foodie and was brewing his own beer at home, had taken a month off of drinking, doing Whole30. And he was sitting at a brewery sniffing beer with his buddy. And he didn't miss the alcohol, but he missed that complexity of flavor that you get and was like, why can't I get this hops experience in anything else? But he was really about getting that flavor without all the baggage to it. And so he reinvented, you know, thousands of years of brewing to figure out how to brew hops to get the flavor within hops. And so, you know, what we ended up with is this hop forward drink that kind of, that it doesn't mimic beer, but it has very beer-like flavors to it, but it all has zero sugar, zero alcohol, and zero calories. And it's all from clean ingredients. So, you know, most of our ingredient decks are 3 ingredients, 4 ingredients if you brew it with tea. And as we learned more about hops, it became more than just beer styles and beer flavors. They're actually these magical little plants that when combined with other botanicals or brewed with other botanicals, it brings out flavor and complexity in those as well. So we have like a vanilla bean in hops and a lemongrass in hops that isn't a beer style, but creates this really layered, nuanced, bold flavor, but without any sugar, calories, or alcohol.
It's fantastic. I think, you know, a lot of people that probably listen to this show, watch these clips, you know, interested in healthier alternatives. And I often think about the protein bar. It's meant to be this healthy version of a chocolate bar, but it's got, you know, a longer ingredient list than a 7-year-old's Christmas list. And, you know, there's so much stuff in there that's not helpful, that's not great. And so I love that, you know, that you and Hoplark are all about, you know, real ingredients and that you've got that sort of natural product background in the food industry. I'm curious, though, in regards to the brewing, because so my grandfather does a lot of brewing of, you know, sort of bourbons and whiskeys and beer and stuff as well. And when I was at university, that was fantastic because I used to go back home and just get my grandfather's home brew for free and I would take that to uni. But I'm curious in regards to maybe like brewing culture, is that sort of how do you balance respecting, you know, centuries or thousands of years of tradition in regards to brewing with the introduction of this innovation to this non-alcoholic space, but it's kind of like you're dressing it up as alcohol. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, we don't try to be anything different than we are. I would say like our reverence of brewing is quite high. Most of the people that work with us are brewers or have been brewers for a large part of their life or find it a deep hobby. We think it's a little, I mean, it's about the craft of brewing and the way we do it, but I think the way we come into it is that we are like hops enthusiasts, like total hop nerds. A lot of the process comes from, you know, we're right now, this time of year is hop selection, and our team goes out to Yakima to the hop growers. We handpick hop lots of hops that we're going to use for the next year. We actually do experiments and create hop waters on site to understand the true reflection of what that lot is going to look like. And that care and attention to the ingredient, to where it comes from, to its properties, I think it's appreciated by brewers who also care about the different expressions that beer can take. And in fact, it's a fun way to, like, if you love beer, to really like see and play around with the expression of hops in our various drinks. I mean, we've played around with over three dozen varietal of hops in over 150 limited releases and experimental brews. And that kind of like nod and focus on innovation is really, we find, embraced by people who love brewing and love beer as well, and gives them an alternative as well of something that they can drink when they don't feel like drinking beer, or something they can drink in the middle of the day, or something they end up having with lunch, or something they're driving around in the car with. That we're finding that people who love beer love to also fit Hoplark into their life in occasions that may not be beer occasions, or also in reducing beer occasions.
I think with the use of the term beer and thinking of beer occasions, I sort of think of a stereotypical man, you know, in a particular scenario, drinking a beer on a Friday night with the sport. And so I'm curious, how do you go? Because, you know, it's sort of, I know from checking out the website and you're sharing now, you know, it's tea-like. And so how do you overcome the tea beer drinker communication? Because I think of like a rugged man with a big beard and an axe drinking beer. And I think of like, then I think of a tea drinker and I think of like somebody really fancy in England. You know, it's like, how do you cross those barriers? Yeah.
That's a great question. Well, the way that we think about it is we actually take hops to new categories and occasions. So Hoplark shows up in three different categories. We have our Hoplark 00 line, which is beer style. So it's like Citra IPA style, West Coast IPA style, hop sour style. So it's really mimicking kind of more of a beer occasion or a beer style. Then we have this line of hop teas, as you said, where we brew tea and then we hop it to bring out the flavor and the complexity within tea. And it gives you a really cool, unsweetened, zero sugar, full flavor tea experience. And so we find that hop teas, they sit in the tea aisle. And so they get picked up by tea drinkers looking for more flavor and less sugar. And people who drink hop teas tend to drink them throughout the day like a tea. So we have some with caffeine that end up being used earlier in the morning, with light caffeine, they're like an afternoon pickup, and then some without caffeine that people use to wind down, or just whether they drink caffeine or not. And then we have a sparkling water line, which is the vanilla bean and hops and lemongrass and hops, and then our single varietals, so like a Citra hops or tropical hops. And people use those because they sit in the sparkling water aisle more like sparkling waters. They end up being a premium experience in sparkling water, or something like, oh, I don't want another LaCroix. I want to try something else that has more flavor to it. And so because we brought hops to existing categories, the products end up being used more in line with how those categories get used, instead of being like, here's hop water for all things, because that's hard for people to figure out where they're going to, like, it's disruptive already, right? To take hops out of beer. And then to be like, how do I use it? And so we kind of solve that by bringing hops to other categories that people are using and fitting into those patterns that are in those categories.
It's a lot of sense. And I'm probably more likely to find myself at the, you know, the sparkling water side of that conversation. But a question that kind of evolved in my mind as you were speaking there was dancing with that line of sort of a healthy alternative to alcohol for the beer-like stuff, without inadvertently stigmatizing alcohol consumption or moderate alcohol consumption. Is that a tricky marketing thing to sort of dance with?
It's a good question because I think, you know, some of the industry definitely plays in kind of the stigmatization of alcohol, that like having alternatives is because like that stuff is bad for you. And if you are trying to do something better, you should just like cut out alcohol altogether. We have kind of more focused on the benefits that we get out of using hops in these different ways. And actually, I think of Hoplark 00, the beer style line, is actually more of a foil to NA beer than it is to regular beer. So like, if you're going to drink an NA beer, you know, a lot of them are a lot better than they ever were before. I mean, it's quite remarkable, the quality. But you still, if you are choosing not to drink for health and wellness reasons, you're still drinking carbs and calories. And so if you are choosing to cut back and are looking for an alternative, we provide one that has incredibly hopped flavor that is something in and of itself with zero calories and zero alcohol. So it's kind of like the whole package that really fits into what I'm trying to do in terms of my health and wellness. And so in that case, like, we don't even really think of ourselves as a foil to beer. We think of ourselves as like a complement to all that the beer industry has done. And then, as I said, like, our focus is really helping people understand the magic of this little plant and all that it can do for flavor without, you know, anything artificial or sweeteners or any of that stuff, that you can get real clean ingredients to give you big, bold flavor. And that's really kind of where we steer our message.
Yeah, I like it. I like that it's an adjunct or an add-in rather than necessarily a complete alternative.
Yeah.
I think that's where a lot of people get triggered, is in that space where they're saying, so you're saying what I'm doing is bad? Like, is that what you're saying?
No, we're like, why don't you want to add this like awesome flavor that you love like throughout all the occasions of your day? You know, start with it. It's super fun. We did a...
Yeah.
We do a limited release every month. And in June, we called it the breakfast beer, just to like shake it up a little bit and be like, yeah, you should start your day with this. It's like delicious, a little caffeine hit, gets you going, feels like you're doing something naughty, but you're doing something awesome, just to kind of play with the occasions for people.
Mum, mother, grandmother, nan, nana, and women with no kids. Have I got your attention? So I want you to imagine something. Go with me here. Imagine a life where even when you wake up tired and the kids are driving you mad and work sucks and things are problematic, that you're still in control of your food and you still make healthy choices without giving up and binging on chocolate and wine and saying, I'll try again tomorrow. It might be hard to imagine, but having freedom with your food is absolutely possible. And it starts by getting three things right. One, having a supportive community, building a strong connection with fellow emotional eating warriors. Two, having the right information delivered in the right way. And three, having a guide that can shine a light on the right path and have your back along the way. And that's me. Those three things are exactly what we've got for you inside the Healthy Mums Collective Facebook group for people just like you wanting to end their emotional eating and feel good in their own skin again. And currently, it's free to join. The link is in the show notes below. If you've struggled with diets or felt powerless around food, you're not alone. But let me assure you, this is a community that understands your battles and is ready to empower you into action. So what can you expect on the inside? Well, we have posts and content that push you a little out of your comfort zone. We do Facebook Lives, have interactive Q&A session, and it's simply a safe space to face your food challenges and be honest without concern of being judged. If you decide to join us, I have a complimentary How to Turn Food into Self-Confidence ebook for you as well, completely free. The Healthy Mums Collective thrives on support, authenticity, and experience-based practices. It's a community, so the beautiful people in it is where the magic comes from. To join us and be a part of that magic, head to the show notes, click the link, breeze through a few quick questions, and you'll be in the Healthy Mums Collective before you know it. Again, the link is in the show notes below. I'll see you in the DMs or on the welcome post in just a few moments. Yeah, yeah. I'm curious with the no sugar thing as well, you know, the low or no sugar thing. How does that get received? And I say that because we're so conditioned for hyper sweet, bliss point, palatable foods as a, you know, population in the West, yeah, particularly, but, you know, sure, basically the whole world now. It's, you know, how do you navigate that space with having products that, like, you know, a lot of beer and alcohol has a lot of sugar in it? So how do you do that?
Yeah, I mean, in beer and alcohol, a lot of the sugar is to cut, you know, the acidity or the deep bitterness of some of the alcohol and the brewing. And so it's actually necessary to get the balance of the flavor. But if you like something like a bourbon or a whiskey, they're not very sweet, right? And there's about a third of the population who inherently is looking for non-sweet foods. And then there's about a third who's looking to reduce the amount of sugar that's within their diets, but they're not quite sure if they're ready to lose the sweetness. And so, you know, if you think about some of those alcohol, I mean, there's, don't get me wrong, there's some very sweet alcohol, but there's a lot of non-sweet alcohol. And yes. Beer is kind of one of those too, right? And sugar is used to reduce the bitterness within the, or the, you know, the natural sugars that come actually reduce the bitterness. So it's less for us. I mean, we think that there are enough people who are looking for low, no sugar offerings. And when they try it, they're like wowed by the depth and complexity of flavor. And what they find is, and what I found drinking this as well, I mean, I was a Diet Coke addict for sure. I will tell you, I still drink it from time to time. But when I'm on a run and drinking a lot of Hoplark, like it is actively resetting my palate. And so when I go back and start to drink something sweet, it's like off for me. And so there is this thing of like, you can reset your palate over time. And Hoplark is one of those things that like, if I am trying to cut sugar out of my life, it's a really fun way to reset your palate, because it starts to like, once you start to drink it, you start to understand and explore nuances within the flavor in a totally different way. And you're like, wow, that was like surprising. And it gives you kind of this like emotional break during the day. And then the more that you drink it, when you go back to the sweet stuff, you're like, oh, I can't drink that anymore. And I think people find that in, this is usually a negative word, but in a very positively way, addictive or supportive of where they're going with their journey, right? It just like helps me keep going and pull out some of the other sugar that I'm eating. Like my 4 gummy bears a day.
This is Food and Alcohol Anonymous episode.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I like that you said that it rewires the palate or reconditions the palate. And I find the same thing when I work with people, even just with their food stuff, is that, you know, once we get onto some more whole real food more often, or even if there's a period of time that it's a permanent break away from some of those foods that are, you know, incredibly artificial and manufactured, the return to them, I've had people say, oh, Maddie, I don't even like that food anymore. You've ruined it. You know, like, I didn't do anything.
It's totally true. And like when like your palate starts to get more refined, if you want to call it that, but can like explore the natural flavors, I think you end up becoming more adventurous as an eater and, you know, drinker as well. And that's kind of fun. It just resets the relationship with food or beverage in a different way.
Yeah. Well, I think as well, when it comes to, you know, sugary things or alcohol or whatever it might be, you know, like, and if we talk about beer, particularly in the context of hops, is that, you know, there's a lot of people that have bloating with beer, you know, issues going to the toilet, gut issues, dehydration, obviously after too many beers, you know, being drunk, the hangover, all of that kind of stuff. So I'm curious if we're going to move in the direction of like a Hoplark-like product, how do those kind of negative physical health things that happen with beer, how are they different when, you know, having a Hoplark drink versus conventional beer?
Yeah, so there are a lot of purported benefits of hops from everything from a calming effect to a variety of different things. I'm not going to go into them because we don't claim them by any stretch, but there definitely is an inherent properties within hops that some people say that they feel over time. I wouldn't say that's kind of, we're not playing in a functional space here, but what you get is it's like drinking, it's the equivalent of drinking a sparkling water in terms of the like physical experience that you're having, but just with more satisfaction with on the palate. And so you don't, you're obviously not hungover, you're getting hydrated while you drink it. And you know, in the case of some of the caffeinated ones that have like caffeinated black tea in it, there is some caffeine jump to them if you're looking for that. But like in the chamomile, which is called our calm, like there is a cool calming effect when you combine chamomile and hops together. And so, you know, you walk away with the same social satisfaction and kind of taste satisfaction, but with all of these plus ands, if you will, right? Hydration, no alcohol, like no lethargy. In fact, what some people tell us is like when they are drinking now, they'll like have a beer, then a hop lark, then a beer, then a hop lark. And they're like, I'm pacing, but I don't feel like I'm pacing because the taste experience mm-hmm. like doesn't stop. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I had four hop larks and a beer because they just keep picking it up. I can drive home. I can do things safely. I can get up in the morning, right? I can have that. For some people, it's like I can have the routine or that like routine shift of mm-hmm. like feeling like I just want to like kick back and open something and relax a little bit, but without any of the downside side effects of it.
Yeah, it's interesting you mentioned the relaxing or calming effect of hops, because hops has been coming into my world a little bit lately because it's starting to show, and this is maybe not related to your product, but it's just interesting that the conversation around hops lately is around weight loss, that there's a compound in hops that the research is starting to show that, you know, is a part of, you know, increased metabolism or fat burning. And I've had a few people send me some papers and say, hey, Maddie, what do you think of this? Should I start, you know, getting hops into my life? I was like, well, drinking beer to lose weight is probably a bad strategy.
Yeah, it is. And we've spent a lot of time with some of the professors and researchers at the University of Oregon, which is where a lot of the expertise is coming out of, because they're right in the middle of hop country. And we've seen a lot of that as well. The amount of hops that you would get in a beer or even in a hop lark probably isn't significant enough. You would need to take a supplement of some sort to be able to get that level of effect. But mm-hmm. the fact that like all of this research is being done that says there are all of these benefits within the product or the plant itself, I feel like that makes it a pretty good thing to like have a little bit mm-hmm. of, you know, it's better than none of it.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I'm an advocate wherever food as medicine or food as a tool or food as a healing agent is advocated for, I'm an advocate as well. You know, I think the more that we can move away from pharmaceuticals and chemicals and shortcuts and stuff like that, the better in most cases. But something that I was also sort of pondering as you've been talking about in regards to, you know, just this, you know, big movement that's happening in, you know, lots of people's environment at the moment towards non-alcoholic things. But do you see a future where it's normal to not have alcoholic beverages at sort of quote unquote alcoholic beverage events? Do you see a movement getting that far?
I do. I mean, I think this is just like a personal opinion, not that of Hop Lark, but anything that swings too far a pendulum in any one direction always then forces the pendulum back. So like, do I see it happening? Yeah. For sure. And like, you can definitely, I have seen it happen, particularly at professional events. So big conferences where people would get together or big work parties. I have personally experienced it. And then we've been reached out to by a number of organizations that say, we're just pulling out alcohol out of those functions. There's absolutely no reason why they need to be there. It creates more issues than it should in a work environment or in a professional setting. And so, you know, our receptions are going non-alc. And like, that tracks for me for sure. And of course, there are sober events that are popping up all over the place as kind of alternatives or safe spaces or places where people can just feel comfortable, whether that's a sober bar or sober discos or whatever it is, or family-friendly events. Like we have seen stadiums move to alcohol-free, you know, various things in the U.S., not a ton of them, but a few. So, you know, could it totally push over? Maybe, but as long as like there's some legal alcohol, like it'd be nice if there was like at least 50-50 representation of things that are interesting and social and alcohol alternatives that aren't Coke and Pepsi and soda and just water, right? But like something that if you just literally took the menus or the offerings at any place that's offering alcohol and you had like the same representation of a non-alc option, I think that would be a remarkable place to be.
I agree. And I think too, it's often sort of joked about in the natural health space and the food space that, you know, natural whole grown food from the produce section, the main issue is that it's got a marketing problem, right? Like, you know, it's in the, it's still in the supermarket. And so I think that's the other piece of the puzzle is that it needs marketing and price matching or price incentives, because you walk into a supermarket and the packaged chocolate that went to China and came back is a dollar. And the healthy food that was on a farm down the road is $10, right? So I think that's the other piece is that a lot of people need to, you know, as the consumer, need to look at these products and be able to make a marketing decision or, you know, having been marketed to. And secondly, an economic decision that makes sense in saying no to the other thing.
Yeah. Well, and some of that economic decision is helped by more demand. I mean, that's how you can start to lower prices, is the more acceptance that you get. And so it ends up being a virtuous cycle. I think right now, the biggest piece is getting options in front of people where they're shopping today or where they're consuming today. So you always have an option to choose NA in some way, shape, or form if you want to. And then that kind of presence will start to lift all boats, and then you'll start to see kind of that virtuous cycle start.
Yeah, I totally agree. I have people that say to me, Maddie, your programs and services are too expensive. Well, I'm like, well, if a million people buy them, we can make it much cheaper.
Exactly.
So I totally hear what you're saying. But yeah, no, I think this whole conversation around this NA space, and I'm happy that it's growing, and I love that you're doing work in regards to, limited ingredient lists and natural stuff going in there. I guess, you know, sort of getting into my own curiosity about this is, and getting based on what you just said in regards to getting more people interested, more people buying, you know, where does someone begin if they're starting to be sober curious, or they're like, oh, where can I get some of these products to add into my life? Like, without the fear of judgment, where does somebody begin that journey into this NA space with their choice of beverage or buying products and stuff like that?
Yeah, well, I mean, you can find us at hoplark.com, and most all of the NA space actually started in the .com space, because the real growth of sober curious, at least in the US, in England, it was England, Australia, parts of Europe, it was a little bit before this, but sober curious hit the US in around 2018, which is when it had enough momentum where gray area drinking, sober curious became something that mainstream media was starting to talk about. But there was no place in stores for any of these brands to go. There was an NA beer set that was like O'Doul's and two or three other brands, but it was so tiny. So there wasn't really retail space. And so as brands started to come to life to answer, you know, this gap in the market, they all built .com marketplaces or stores. And then the pandemic hit and like nobody could get distribution. And so, you know, to start an NA brand, you actually had to start like a Shopify store to be able to reach it. And so there are still a number of then like aggregators of NA marketplace. And you can just like go onto Google and be like, where do I buy NA drinks? And like one of those aggregators will pop up where they curate different offerings across NA wine, NA spirits, NA beer, ready to drink cocktails, NA alternatives. Like all of this stuff gets curated now in some of these kind of marketplaces, if you will. So that's a great place to start. A lot of the, we're finding in retail, the first place that gets developed within a retail store is the NA beer set. And that's thanks to Athletic and the success that they've had. And as a great kind of leader within the industry, they have found success. And so retailers have been willing to expand the shelf space really for NA beer first. NA spirits, NA wine, ready to drinks. They've had a little bit harder time finding like, where do they sit on shelf? Like, do I make my own set for them or do I find them in sets? But I think people are starting usually with NA beer.
Yeah, I like that. Well, what I'm thinking of is like going down to the local liquor store or the supermarket and having one of those taste testing, you know, little booths that are there so people can actually, you know, because a lot of people judge some of these drinks as like, oh, they're not real drinks, you know, that's not a man's drink or you wouldn't take that to, but bit of a taste and be like, oh, okay, maybe I will get one, you know?
Yeah, we always say like our greatest marketing lever is cans in hands. Like when someone has it and they try it, they're like, oh, all right, I get it now. We had a consumer tell us, it is the most disgusting idea I've ever heard, most beautifully executed. And I was like, okay. But
I guess that's a compliment.
The power of like, yeah, I was like, okay, we've got a problem in the way we're talking about it. But you know, when you have no idea, because a lot of this stuff, you're like, what is that going to taste like? And at least for Hoplark, as soon as people try it, they're like, oh, that, now I get it. That is different.
Yeah.
In a good way.
In a good way. Of course. So obviously, like, everybody can go to Hoplark's website. Is there any other links or places on the internet that you want to send people to?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we're hoplark.com is the main place where you can find us. We're in the US, national at Whole Foods. We're in the Western regions of Kroger and a lot of the regional grocery kind of around the country. But, you know, the most consistent place to find us is hoplark.com. That's also where you can find our monthly limited releases, where we experiment with really fun, different stuff. We just did a Mexican lager this July, where we brewed corn silk, like literally the silk that comes off the corn when you shuck a piece of corn. We brewed that and then hopped it to get kind of sweet Mexican lager-like experience. We've done a root beer in the past, which is just literally the brewed roots then hopped. And so it's an unsweetened, zero sugar root beer experience, which is like crazy. We have this fun one called Sprucey, where the spruce tips are hand foraged in the mountains of Colorado. Like there's nothing more Colorado than the skew, and then hopped. It's like drinking Colorado is the best way I can describe it. It is the coolest. Literally, like that's my favorite skew by far.
Yeah, amazing. I will put all of the links down in the show notes below. And for anybody that's maybe not in a country or a region where you can get it yet, sign up to the newsletter or sign up to anything that's on the Hoplark site so you can stay in the know with what's going on there. And I'm obviously a big advocate of all products that are reducing their ingredient list, that are moving towards real food, that are creating less biological damage in the human that consumes them. I am all on board, which is why we're here. So really appreciate you being here, Betsy. It's awesome to have these conversations and people that are passionate about doing this work. And so I guess before we wrap up, you know, one piece of health information that you wish more people knew about, that's the question we ask everyone. So what is that one for you?
Yeah. So I'm going to give you a compound answer, but you know, as I've been talking about, like when you reduce alcohol, there's like physical benefits of number of calories, the hydration, the how your body can operate, fatty liver, as you're talking about it. There's also incredible mental benefits of not as much anxiety, better sleep, better skin, all of those things. But what we say in Hoplark, and all is that true. And so like, if you feel stuck, like you'll actually feel the difference, which is pretty awesome. But what we talk about often, and I think this is partially because we're in Colorado, but when you're stuck and you can't make the next step, or you don't know what to do, or you need a change of routine or motivation or clarity, get outside. And as soon as you get outside and kind of start moving outside in some way, shape, or form, whether that's like a physical, like just walk around your house or block or going out into nature, something gets unlocked that helps you move to whatever the thing is that you wanted to do. And so get outside, bring a Hoplark with you, hike to the top of a mountain, take a drink. But we find that I find that's the best way. I think we all find within the company that we personally, that's kind of the mantra we live by.
Fantastic. I support all of the things that you just said. So get outside, reduce your alcohol consumption, have a hoplark. Amazing. But thank you so much for being here. I appreciate your time and your energy and everything that you're doing. So hopefully we can catch up again soon and we'll catch you on another episode.
Amazing. Thank you so much for having me. It's been an awesome time.
No worries. See you, Betsy.
Bye.
Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you enjoyed this episode or learnt anything at all, the gift of your 5-star rating would be incredibly helpful. And what's even more powerful is if you write a review. You can do it below each episode on Spotify, every time an episode comes out, and inside Apple Podcast. Simply find the main page of this show with all the episodes on it, scroll to the bottom, hit write a review, share your amazing feedback, and then hit send. It helps this show grow tremendously and allows me to successfully invite bigger and more famous guests each time we do the show. Thank you for helping us climb the charts, climb the algorithm, and help more people. Oh, and by the way, I have a short disclaimer as well. I just wanted to quickly remind you that the information provided on this podcast is for general informational purposes only. While we strive to bring you accurate and up-to-date content, it's important to note that a lot of this is mixed with opinions, stories, and ideas not supported by mainstream science or medicine. Any advice or suggestions should not be considered a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always consult a healthcare provider before making any decisions about the health and wellness of you and your family. Remember, too, that what works for one person may not work for another. And just as we promote on the show, each person is responsible for their own health decisions. Thank you for tuning into the How to Not Get Sick and Die podcast. And now, the next episode. Here it is.